I cheated. I made myself a little copy. So I have it on record. Okay. One doubt for the Gemara, but it has everything else that we need. It should have your day also, though. Dangerous to get lost in Hashkofa. Usually it's an English translation for some reform attempt to undermine the halacha. But here, Hashkofa is critical. Yeah. Remember, we began the other day, yesterday, Amisha Mesa Muta Lefonov, the Taz on Ochel B'Bayi Sacher, have a Loig L'Rosh, mentioned yesterday, right? The Taz continued, V'hod lo osru gam be'acher itam zel, if you should dafke b'chayev b'kvoroso b'chshash b'mashin osi b'kvoroso v'yoshev lecho b'fei ames. Most people disagree with the Taz on that, as we'll see, but the concept is important. What does he say? He says, my relative, I can't sit down and eat. Right? But if it's a stranger, it's nothing. Others hold, that's not true. There's a broader concept of kod ha'odom that goes past bloodlines. We're not talking about blood relatives. We're talking about Acheinu B'nei Yisrael. But the question is, what is the emotion you're supposed to have? For that's what the Halacha tried to capture. If it, as indeed, with rare exception, everybody holds, except for Beilin Shom Rishon, we'll discuss in detail whether has a deraisa component. The Avelos has to say something. Rabbanu made it up. If Rabbanu made it up, you can't just find like Zeus HaKosov, no problem. Baruch Hashem, Kodesh Baruch Hu can do what he wants. He puts in a posik, we're stuck. Gotta do what the posik says. But Rabbanu and Rabbanu, right? He's still dealing with mortal human beings. And with all the cover that they deserve, we have a right to ask what was behind it all. So yesterday I gave you a capsule definition of Avelos. As it impacts on the individual, Avelos is the loss of personal esteem. It's a kind of Avelos of myself. I'm not misabel, it's sad that my father died. I'm misabel because it's sad that I have no father. I have a chmonis on myself. And therefore, the nihugi Avelos reflect that sense of loss which an individual has, which is best exemplified by a kind of disinterest in all the fine points of daily life, and how you dress, where you sit, your personal hygiene, and so on. You see, Bemis, how much is captured by Rashi and Tosfos in the Gemara Mishameso. Mm-hmm. Hashem, who's supposed to be in the halacha share today?
There should be a
I need Gabi photocopies. How many? Who be the immigrants? Oh, that's our new face. Welcome here. Okay. And Darren's back. And Joshua. Where's Joshua Levy? Okay. And Nara Talansky.
He's on the conference. He'll be back
this week. He'll be back? Yeah. Okay. And Yossi Shaver there. And Shaffer there, and Sultan. Okay. You
Amir. I have to talk to you about the Bechina.
I mean, this is your survey of what's going on in Yeshiva. I was over one day. Okay. Misha Besa Mutal of Honov. Potom Kriya Shema. Again, conceptually, you're already in trouble. God had the Rabbonon of Avelis parted you from a Din D'Oraisa? That's the question number one on the mission. You tell me you put from a Din D'Rabbonon, okay. But why should the Rabbonon parted the D'Oraisa? Next. Why? For a possible reason. If I have to bury my father tomorrow, I can't like Krishma tonight. What's the rationale for it? That's where you'll see halacha lemaisa. It's not hard to pass in shailas and to disagree with accepted minhogim in special cases because you understand what Chazal wants to say to you. So look at Rashi. Potem elikos chiyashma lefi shehu torud b'machsheves kvuroso. This Rashi has bothered me. I have no good tellers for you. What's wrong with Rashi saying oisik b'mitzvah potem ala mitzvah? Okay, how are we doing today? We have only three chazanim in class. Okay, maybe you remember, it's a long time ago when you were married. Right? It says episode that a chosen Laila Rishona is potu mena kriya shema. Manazeh, we don't pass in that way. What's the reason potu mena kriya shema?
Machshavas. Yeah, worried that you're not going to have the right machshava, right kavana for kriya shema.
Because you're told... Right? You're too busy worrying about the smorgasbord, right? so you can't concentrate, right? Not because Oishi supports the Manamitsu. That's not Rashi's name either. And here Rashi is exact same Russian. The Pishu Torud b'machsheves kvuroso. So Rashi tells you, well, you can't have kavana. That's why we pass him bizman hazeh. Why does the chosin link krishma? Why does he have ma'irib after the smorgasbord? Yeah. Because you're a lot of baloney. You don't have kavana anytime. Right? You're throwing off. If it's Merzah Kiyoro, tonight I can't have much kavana in Kriyashma. And yesterday you were able to have kavana, and last year you also had kavana. So a different concept here. You can't tie in the Oisei B'mitzvah potem ala mitzvah because Oisei B'mitzvah potem ala mitzvah also B'mitzvah. look at Tosfos. Potter Mikriya Shema. Yerushalmi Meforish Timer, I mentioned it yesterday. Right, the Shach calls to Yerushalmi. Omar Rabun, Sivul Mantisko, Kol Yimei Chayecho. Right? Yomim Shata Osek Bechayim. Yom Hat Osek Bemesim. Okay, now jump to the next, to the Tosfos Elul ve'Elul. Okay, I'm sorry, gotta finish the mission at first. Right, Mishameis Mutal Lefanov Potem Mikriyas Shema Tefilin. Right, come to No Se Hamita V'Chilu Feyem. Right, these are the pallbearers, but there they pallbeared something went 50 miles or 100 miles. They died in Bovil, they wanted to bury Me'el Chisroel. I sort of had a system of transport. V'chilufi chilufeyem, that's what it means to say, right? The squads, the teams that replaced each other in carrying the body. Eshelef ne'amita, eshelach amita. You have to differentiate between the two. I'm sorry, we lost you in the middle. You weren't here yesterday, so he said we would learn a little bit the Makoros for the Malacha and the Brachos. Look in with somebody. Well, there are two basic Gemara says is an Amud in Brachos and a few Amudim in Moed Katan. So we differentiate. Esh lifnei amita tzor behen. Right, Peturin. Veshalach Amita Tzorobehen Chayovim. Tzorobehen doesn't fit in nicely in the translation of Mishnah. I mean, depending if they need them, right? Ve'elu ve'elu, but both of them are Peturim and Atvila. Why? Elu, but I need them or don't need them, but they're already part of the team, right? They're part of the pall-bearing team. So Rabbanan said, our mitzvahs we give up. Tfilo is the Rabbanan. You want to get involved in that shayla? Machloek is the Rambam and the Ramban, where the tfilo is the Reis is the Rabbanan. Rambam held tefillah zaraisa too. At least once a day is zaraisa. And according to Ramban, if they're marching through terrorist territory, so it's an eis sora, Ramban also holds zaraisa. But I don't want to go too far afield from Hilchos Avelos. So obviously it means. For the Rambam will say, one davenin they did, one davenin they'll do, with the Reise. But the three davenin, like Shachar, Mincha, Ma'ariv, that's unnecessary. How do you translate the Rashi? Eile ve'ele p'turim min ha'tfila. The love the Reise, he, okay. But Rabbi Seinu Pirshu, Lefi Sheyesh Lehem Ot Shuhus. What does that mean?
Daven later.
Huh?
They can daven later.
So whoever thought, why shouldn't they daven later? What makes them daven earlier than they can daven later? And what's the circumstance? They're carrying a body. So God says, oh, time to daven Minche. The guy says, no, I have plenty of time. So you listen to the plenty of time guy. What's he telling you? I have no raya, but I think it most likely that Mandama who says that means because it's Sashumin. If I don't, I'll catch it. I can't do it now. I'll catch it Shachas, two Shemeneses. It's the only thing that makes sense. Yeshus means it's not Ovozmano, Botel Kabono.
Anyway, nobody knows what the pshat is, so I'm just offering that as a possibility.
About the shach from yesterday?
Huh?
The shach from yesterday?
I'm sorry?
Wouldn't it be tali on the machlokus we saw yesterday about whether there's session
or something? Possibly. Okay, we'll get to it in a minute. Good. Alright. Next. Look at the, pick up the tesis. Elu ve'elu. Aval b'kiyash ma'at tefillah in shem ed'araisa chayovim. Right. Reichi the Kaba Misha Mesa Mutalafana Potam in Kriashma Minatfilin Koshkin the Potam and Atfila Ella Boyle Missin Reisha Ella Achiluk Shabay Nosia Mitel. The Mesa Mutal of one of. No, see, Amita are not availing. So the first halacha, they spot to Mikheshma, and we call Mitzvah Samos Batova, that's for the Ovel. Now, someone who's Osud B'Mitzvah, right? There, we only pater him from the Drabonans. Continue the Mishnah, and then the, pick up the last stasis, which is the critical one. Kavur Sames v'chazul. Im yochol lahasa v'ligmo atro yigia v'shur lo yaschilu v'mlav lo yaschilu. What is that? My boys, you all learned brachas already. What does he mean there? There's the second mitzvah coming in, called Nichma Velim. Also a mitzvah. Also mitzvah d'rabbanan, and they line up. You people, unfortunately, some have been at cemeteries. After kvura, the people line up, and the avelim march through the shur. That's omdi b'shur, may march through, and people say a bokeh minachem esrim. So im yicholin lahaschir b'ligmo, they can finish davening atchelo yigil l'shur. Right? There's a big line of upper people. And you can, by the time the people break up this formal Nicham Avelim, there's time for you to stand Shem and Esra and meet you at the end of the line and go through, fine. Yimlav lo yaschilu. Ha'omdim b'shura, obviously it must have been a more lengthy process than they just have mokom yalchem esrim. Ha'om de mishura. Again, those who are involved, apnimim, and time to daven in pturit. Achetzonim chayovim. Okay. Look up the traces, and I want to say something outside the text. There's ve'eno mevarech. That little piece of glory yet, but Eina Mavarech says, you know what, that the Ovel, the Onan, Misha Mutalafonov, the Aninus, right, he eats, he doesn't bench after he eats. He doesn't make a Bochel Foner, not a Bochel Acher. Right. So pick up this Tesis, that'll finish off this Hashkofa, or conceptual definition of Avelus. Mashma Mito Perusho, Shim Rotzel Levarech, look at the Rashi, Eina Mavorech. What Rashi said, Eina Tzorech Levorech Bichas Hamotzi. Veina Mezame, Eina Tzorech Levorech Bichas Hamotzi. Meaning what? It's not compulsory. But if you're a frumi and you want to make a bracha, make a bracha. Mashmei topi rusho shim rotzel levorech rishoy. Miyur birushalmi komar, im rotzel ahachmer ein shomer lo. Lekach nira lomar ein mevorech, ein rishoy levorech. And then comes Tosis adding from the Yerushalmi, which the Shach also mentions. Umeforish birushalmi, lomar. What's the hashkofa? What's the concept here? What's the conceptual thing here? There's Mipnei Kvodo Shomes. One. Inami, second reason. Mipnei Shein Lo Misha Yiso Maso. So I now have three reasons. Rashi didn't mention these two. Rashi mentioned what? Dum yidachosol, torod b'machsheves kfurosol. Right, he's mentally preoccupied. And Tosfos records the two timing in the Yerushalmi. One, kvodo shomes, and two, the second one sounds like really an osik b'mitzvah, potter mana mitzvah. Ain't no Misha Yisamaso. There's no one else who can do the work. I have to do the work. If I'm Torah in this work, which is a mitzvah, mitzvah kvurosor. Rather than make four reasons why possibly, I think we can assume that Ain't no Misha Yisamaso would be the concept of Oisik Mitzvah Potamah Mitzvah. So the Gemara asks, Votanya, when Rishalmi asks, Potom and Tilas Lulav, and Tilas Lulav is Anyamtev, there's no Aninus B'Yamtov. He's not Torah B'Maso. Because Hakadayta B'Aviyotev, Chi Eino Torah B'Yisa B'Maso. U'Meshane, Tifter B'Cholo, Birat B'Cholo Shal Moed. Where Kvur is possible. So when it says there, that Ein Lo Yisum Aso, so you ask, but on Yom Tov there's no Yisum Aso. Why is he potter from the mitzvah lulav? Like he's potter from Trilin at the Raisa, he's potter from mitzvah lulav when he's an onen, when it's meso mutal lefonov. People then don't get lost. We talk about only that one day, not one day, only that period of time. From Miso till Kvur. We're not talking about Avelos yet, we're talking about Aninos. Okay. Let me stop a minute and I'll give you a drosha, which is, I think, a chidush of pshat. It says, you know, Yochol. So we introduce another mitzvah, right? Mitzvah Kvura, mitzvah Nichum Avelim. You people have ever visited the house of an Avel? Okay. Right. What do you do there? First of all, you're uncomfortable, right? You don't know what to do. And then you finally get over to the fellow. You say to him, "Mokom Yerachem Esav Sarah Tzidkus Shvoy." What kind of an inane remark is that? What does it say? I mean, it's unbelievable how people do things, and you train Baruch Hashem years of Torah study where you're supposed to ask questions. Right? You don't ask questions, you're not going to learn anything. Yet you go through life with so many issues that need to ask a question. No one asks a question. You tell me, what do you tell the fellow? He's worried about that being based on Mikdash. Right? He said, don't worry about it. Mashiach is coming, he's going to build the Mikdash. I'm okay, Yachem Esrem, B'soch Shah Aviv. There are other people, Avel Tzil Yerushalayim, who are sorrowful about the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore what? That should make you feel better. So I lose my wife. It's the same thing as someone who's thinking about Beis HaMikdash, which was destroyed 2,000 years ago. People, give me a smaller. Okay. Make a man to be, say, I'm sorry you lost your wife. I'm sorry you lost your father. Right? If I do anything to help you, I'll help. Say something that makes sense. Don't say anything that makes sense.
I don't know if this helps from a psychological standpoint, but the fact that we're going to see the Beis HaMikdash again, God willing, so that might imply that this person is still there in some respects. Spiritually, that we're gonna see them again, and not only that, but also one way in which many Rabbanim try to console
they're still there. The translation is what?
That's just the implication. It's not the translation. It's not the literal translation.
Why did you say Amoki Menachem Eschem? Right? Why? Uvol and Siyum Goel? Right? And we're an imam in Betchias Habesim, and therefore, don't worry. In a few hundred years, it should show up again. No, it doesn't. That's not too much consolation there. Okay. People don't have to think. So I take you with that. I had to go through Avelis myself. I gave some thought and didn't give up till I found something that was satisfying to me. Open up Sefer Iyov. Sefer Iyov is what? Listen carefully. I think it's short the time, I think. Sefer Iyov, according to our tradition, was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. Iyov, Lahoya, Lenivor. There's no man like Iyov. Most of you that out loud, because people went down of our background think you're not because. Right. But that's our belief that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote this as an expansion of this question to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam of Tzadik Barala Rosh HaVetobo. Hareni Noas Kodecha. Yes, tell me why Tzadik Barala Rosh HaVetobo. So he told, what's the story of Eve? Where Kodesh Baruch Hu testified, there's no Tzadik, Eve, Becholot. And then comes a Sotan and says, let's test it. Obviously, that's against our theology. We don't believe it. There's a certain who comes. Don't believe there's a certain period. Okay. Want to know who the certain is? You look in the mirror. That's ain't trouble there. Certain, Samuel, Yetzer Hara, they're all synonyms, or how's it? AKA, also known as. Right. Okay. What was Eve's time? Look in the best one of the best Perush on Eve is the Malbim. Malbim sometimes goes far afield. Eve sticks to the text. And he presents it as Agdoma. What was? As the Rola says, Eve could have turned the whole world upside down. Because he argued what? He argued that the world is run by chaos. Any people know about chaos theory in our science? The Kiddush of chaos theory is a very orderly chaos we have. There's chaos. Therefore, what happened? I got caught in chaos. He didn't argue against the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. He said, God's a God of nature. He put natural laws in. My children made a party. They all got invited, right? And the party was where in Haiti, right? And comes along a 7.0 earthquake. They all got killed. Oh, that's not a problem. And then he gets sick, all kinds of boils on him. And no problem, he got caught that way. There's a staph organism that that causes those boils, right? Not a staphylococcus infection. That's the world. Right? That was Eve's approach. No time to enter the Baruch Shalom. That's how the cookie crumbles. That's how the my fortune is going to happen. Came along the people, three friends, the Nachmo, right? Three friends to console them. So just quickly, you're not going into any details, or at least too much time. What did the friends say to him? One thing they all said. There's order in the world, and therefore, you must have been a phony. If it happened to you, it's because you really was a hidden Russia, and therefore it happened to you. God, you can't fool God. So the Pasuk says, Vayovo, Yishlosha Roy Reim of Eel Menachamo. My husband in the Chome. I walk into you and say, hey, you know why you became a noble? Because you're a Russian, God's punishing you. That's the Chome, right? No one questions it. That's what the Pasuk says. Vayovo, they came to Nachamo, right? And then one of them says, Eldad says, no problem. You had seven sons, and they all got killed, right? God will give you more sons. He'll pay you back. It's a cheshbon God has. That's real the chomer, right? You think a person who loses a son, and then the wife gives birth to five more children, so that son doesn't count. Forget about it. Why? The bottom line, it's like running a business, right? The bottom line is okay. You suffered one loss and got four gains, so you're ahead of the game. Is that meaningful to you? Did you ever forget the child that was once your child and the child died? So what kind of chum is that? So you sum up the reaction of the friends. The action of friends was merely to refute Eve's theological assumption, namely that there is chaos in the world, that you're caught by the laws of nature, and that's it. And you're not entitled to Hashgacha Pratis. Sure, there are tzaddikim where Kadosh Baruch Hu gives Hashgacha Pratis. The Medrash says, Yaakov went to sleep in Bethel, right? Vashem Nitzav Olav. So the Medrash says, Nitzav Olav, like a mother watching over a baby, moving, waving away the flies, shouldn't land on the baby. Not everybody is Yaakov Avinu who deserves that kind of protection. Then look at the end of Eve. Unbelievable. That's the giveaway. And then Kadosh Baruch Hu rewards Eve again. He has more children, he has four daughters, the most beautiful daughters that ever lived in this world, right? Everything is fine now, right? And there you have the last few psukim. Vayovo, Echov, the Kovov, Lenachamo. And they came to give him the chum. They weren't there before. Right. Four friends came to give Nechama. The three friends came to give Nechama. Right? And Ali with the fourth friend who showed up later. Now, after what? Everything's okay with him, right? The family is all restored. So the three friends come. Now the relatives come to Nachamo to console him. What's he talking about? I mean, this observation, it's not in the Malbim either. It's I take credit for, but I think it's plain shot. I'm sure no one who studied EU would learn shot differently. Let me tell you what he's saying. The one thing that's devastating to an individual is EU's assumption that your life is chaotic. There are no rules, no regulations. Things just happen to you. You can't live that way. And everything is uncertain. There's no certitude in life. There's no security in life. Therefore, the three friends came to console him on his reign and his main avelus. The main avelus was the loss of Hashgacha. He thought, I'm just a leaf driven by the wind. Came to friends and said, no, it's not so. There's order in the universe. But that has nothing to do with the personal loss that he also had. He had children that died. Therefore, the Moshe Rabbeinu tells you, at the end, came along the family, right? Now, he said, everybody who's not is not thinking, oh, Eve is okay. He has no more problems. Run like a business, the bottom line is the profit line. He got more sons, he got more daughters. Well, he's ahead of the game. Came with relatives and I know my Eve. Eve is now, what is he thinking? Every time he sees, he goes to a simcha of his new daughter, right? He looks around, he says, where are my old sons? What happened to them? Do you think he ever forget? Therefore, he needs Nechome now. Now, when things are fine, I don't forget what happened before. So the relatives understand that. But what do they say to him? And that's where our minute came. They say to him, Amokom Yenachem Esrem Sochar Sili Gushroyim. What does that say? It says only one thing. It says you can carry on. I know you're sad. I know you have questions. But you can carry on. Look what happened to us. We thought the base of English was destroyed. We're finished. And what happened? We mourned the Beis HaMikdash, we never gave up, right? And Menachem means not to make you forget, make you feel better. Menachem means to encourage you that you can continue with all your kashas. You have kashas, you have problems, but look what happened to a whole nation. Just like Abeli Tzion Yerushalayim were able to continue after Churban Beis HaMikdash, you'll be able to continue your life. How, I don't know, but you'll have to figure out yourself. That's your responsibility. I'll tell you a personal story. I said this in Eretz Yisrael, Tisha B'av, when I spoke for the, there was a joint thing, RCA, Young Israel, and Bar Ilan, and I was asked to speak on the Chama. That's why I put this all together. The Panovich Rav Zatzal was dying of cancer. And had come to America to Mount Sinai Hospital for initial treatment, and things were dragged on for a few years. Then he finally came back for a final surgery or palliative surgery, just allow him to die more comfortably. I was living in Muncie already. I get a call 2 o'clock in the morning with double dishes, that's all. I was going to the Mount Sinai Hospital. Terrible things are happening there. One of which love is there, and it's terrible. I said, fine. I said, I'll be in yeshiva in the morning. Mount Sinai isn't very far. After Sheila, no, no, you've got to go now. No, Dr. Lipschitz, his son and I and my family had joint apartments in Kiryat Yitzchak in Eretz Yisrael, in Shalayim. And when he came to visit, he stayed by us. So we had a more personal relationship. I tried to argue with him. I said, it doesn't make sense, 2 o'clock in the morning. No, the Lipschitz was not an irrational individual. Anyway, I go down there. They come into the floor, a nurse who I happen to know from previous contact. My wife, Zichron Lecha, was there for a vein varicose vein minor surgery, and she was the nurse in charge. Nurse from Virgin Islands, I remember, a little lady. She comes over to me and says, "Get that evil man out of here." On the front of the door. I go into the room, I say, "What's happening here?" In front of the door, who was a big chochem, besides everything else, says to me, "They came in to give me blood. They couldn't do surgery on him. He was very anemic. He died a few weeks after that. The surgeon wouldn't touch him unless they gave him a transfusion first." He says, "I asked him whether it's Jewish blood or not. He said, no, it's blood from the blood bank. So they won't take it." I sat there arguing with him. I don't understand what he says. Don't, you won't do it. I will not take it. So, I don't know if people don't know these names. We had here a fellow in charge of the physical education, Doc Shapiro. I'm sorry, Doc Horowitz.
He's a magician.
Anyone know the name?
He was a magician?
Huh?
He was a magician.
Right. Peter Pan, the magic man. Right. And his daughter was the one who...
The puppeteer.
Who made the puppets. Okay. He was in charge of the blood bank. That blood bank, the animated too. And the Panuchov had B negative blood, the rarest type that we have in America. I wake up, Dr. Horowitz. I say, "Have anybody who has B negative blood in yeshiva?" He says, "I think so, but..." I say, "Gotta find." So he comes down here, he opens up, he lives in the Bronx, comes in, it's already 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. He opens up, we look through, there are 8 boys who have B negative blood. Go into the dormitory, there are 4 of the boys in the dormitory with the 8 B negative blood. Wake them up, take them down to Mount Sinai Hospital, and 2 of them match. Give them a blood transfusion, they do the surgery. Then he's recuperating here by Breuer's nursing home, by the Yekichev nursing home up here in Fort Tryon. Lunchtime, I go down there to encourage him to eat. I'm trying to get some food into him. So after a while, I sort of decided to ask some questions. I said, "There was something else happened. I was there at surgery, and the anesthetist asked the Panuchov, he had 4 teeth, 2 on top of him, the rest was a plate. He wants to remove the teeth under anesthesia. It'll be easy for him because he'll have to be on a ventilator for a lengthy period of time after the surgery. He'll be more comfortable if he doesn't have those 2 teeth. And then when the college will make a full plate, doesn't need the teeth, not accomplishing anything." Absolutely refused. After the second week he was here at the nursing home, I decided I'm going to ask him the 2 questions. Why did you refuse the blood? Why didn't you allow to take out the teeth? Now, up to now, tell me, what thought of going through your mind? Why did he say, "I don't want Goyish blood"? Goyish blood? Because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want Goyish milk. Right, we had to get... Never underestimate an Odom Godel. I said to him, "Well, Goyish blood is treif." So he laughed. He had a tremendous sense of humor. Yeah. He laughed. He said, "You think Goyish blood is treif?" He says, "They killed my children in front of my eyes. I don't want to be mezakeh them with a mitzvah. I don't want Goyish to have a mitzvah save the Jew. They killed my children." He forgot the children. Panovichov was the most successful refugee that we had. Came to America, built a massive yeshiva, schools, other schools, yeshiva ketanis, etc., nursing homes, etc. So he forgot everything was fine. He forgot all the past. He didn't forget the past. Therefore, that's why the friends, that's why the relatives came to Nachum. On the contrary, when Eev looked around and saw his success, to him it reminded him of, where are my children? I asked him, what about the teeth? Why didn't you take the teeth out? He said, this is, I'm surprised that you don't understand. He says, I'm a Kohen. A Kohen without teeth is possible avoda. Sheikh is coming. I was dead in a few weeks. I should pass on myself on that avoda.
It's like
Rav Moshe.
It's like the story. And the pacemaker. Okay.
Rebbe.
Now you know what. Now we know what Nicham Avelim is. Nicham Avelim is a critical component of recuperating from the loss. But what is it? It is what? A reaffirmation of God's in charge. It's a reaffirmation that the world is run by Kodesh Baruch Hu. And therefore, you're not left in a world of chaos. Everyone who suffers a loss has that kasha set. Why? I think if I had my shvel around now, how much easier it would be for us on so many issues that Am Yisrael. At least there'll be someone who will say something that people will listen to. They won't listen to him and do what he says, but at least they would listen to him. Our problem is no one listens to anybody anymore. Everybody goes away, does what he wants, I hate what you say. It's not interesting. It is, this is told, he's told he can't listen to anything. Okay, yeah, you want to say something?
I saw a quote a few months ago that the Panav Jirav built 18 yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael.
He built what?
18 yeshivas,
yeah,
in Eretz Yisrael, connected the 18 yeshivas.
It's a local story. Yeah.
He specifically said that at every one of the groundbreakings, said this is for another yeshiva that was...
Yeah. I'll give you one last word on Panav Jirav. This was all towards the beginning, end of the Zaman here. And after that, I went to Eretz Yisrael. He went back to Eretz Yisrael. We came on a Thursday to Eretz Yisrael. And our apartment in Kiryat Yitzchak wasn't ready, so we lived in we started to say in Bnei Brak. Eleven Rehov Rashi, which is on the corner of that shul where they have a minyan every 13 seconds on the street there. First, so I came to Bnei Brak, I went to visit the Panav Jirav, and he was dying. He died on Monday. I had two sons that I wanted to put into some place. We spent 9 months in Bnei Brak, put them in yeshiva a while. So I went into the Sheikh Katana that the Panav Jirav had there, and sat in a few classes. Then I went to visit him, and I said to him, make small talk. I said to him, you know, Baruch Hashem, I was in yeshiva, several classes, each one is better than the next, wonderful thing. I listened to a response of a man who's on his deathbed. See, he smiled, he said, of course my Rosh Yeshiva are the best, he says. My daughters didn't pick my Rosh Yeshiva. He had no daughters. What's that wisecrack? How did he become a Rosh Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael? He married a Rosh Yeshiva's daughter, so he became a Rosh Yeshiva. He says, my Rosh Yeshiva is not picked by my daughters. Okay, that's a little detour, but I think of value, yeah.
Rabbi, do you think the fact that he refused the blood transfusion was irrational?
Was it rational? Very rational.
Why?
Because a person has to be able
to do what he can do there. What was irrational was if there was no solution to the problem, and it meant he had to die because the surgeon wouldn't touch him, right? Then comes a simple halachic problem, kuch nefesh and so on. But he was holding out for, he knew that there's Jewish blood around. You know, there were Jews, there were people. He was holding out. What would it have been if I came to him and said to him, there's no solution. Either you take the blood or you die. I'm sure he was enough of a posek to know that he'd have to take the blood whether he liked to or not.
I was thinking more along the lines of the concept of, I don't want to take goyisha blood because the goyim killed my children. To say that I don't want to take, right? As opposed to, there were evil people who killed my children who were goyim, I don't think, as much as we're not guaranteed a best friend if somebody isn't Jewish, I don't think we need to assume that every non-Jew who gave blood has malicious intent towards the Jews.
That was not, I don't think that's implied in what he said. He said, no, he said, I don't want to mezakeh them with a mitzvah. I'm not prepared to give them anything.
But who's them? That's what I'm asking.
Anybody. And in other words, what he said, which is, I believe, historically correct, the goyish world killed his children. Everyone who donated blood to be a good citizen, right? But he did nothing to save a Jew and would have killed a Jew also. That's what history has shown. Right? All of Poland and Russia, people lived house to house, neighbors for 30, 40, 50 years who shared each other's sympathies, etc. The Germans came in, they turned around and shot and killed and mutilated their neighbors. Yes, we have no confidence in the goyim, 100%. Are we anti-non-Jew? I think so. Yes, as part of our hope for survival, you cannot depend. Obama wants to give you a better healthcare program, right? In my eyes, I know he's to be an anti-Semite. He has to be an anti-Semite, whatever that means. He's a Muslim, right? Who became a Christian, didn't give up to be not a Muslim. He's the same Muslim. That's why he can't do anything against the Muslims. This business with this bomber, this fellow wanted to blow up the plane. And then there's a chain of command showing all the errors that were made. The first thing that he announces, right, is what? It's a systemic failure. No individuals are involved. Well, I'm sure there were terrorists along the line who approved these guys to get in onto the airplane. Why don't you do an investigation? Because it means starting up with the Muslims. You can't start up with the Muslims. I should have begun today with an important statement. Whoever said Tachanun this morning is a kofir be'ikar. If you knew what's happened today, right? Rabbeinu Shloim showed up and said, hey, you thought I'm not around? Watch me. And in Massachusetts, they go ahead and they ruin Obama's majority. You think that's not Rabbeinu Shloim? Then you're a kofir be'ikar. No way the guy could have won. Some shmo shows up and says, Yachmin, a senator. Yeah. So, who makes you a senator? And suddenly, in an amoral liberal state like Massachusetts, who approved of same-sex marriage, etc., and suddenly they become Republican. Not to be believed. And it's a chesed emun if you don't see that. So if anyone had the courage, would announce a shul, no tachlum today. We just had tachlum. you have to keep your eyes open what's happening in this world. But that's part of the Avelus, Hamokim Yachem Esrei. There's no chaos. There's someone who's in charge. Yesh Din v'Yesh Dayan. My daughter, spoke to my daughter this morning, asked as well, something in the paper said,
the team from Israel came to Haiti, and of course their name wasn't mentioned, except once I heard on the radio going in, they mentioned Israel something. But otherwise, everybody's sending teams. Israel was the first team there, and the Shabbos, they davened the minyan outside, and always the davening, etc. So someone came over to one of the people who's from Efrat, who was there, and says to him, "You are Jewish?" He says, "Yes." "Oh, you're the ones that control America?" The same question. Nothing, just talking about it. Everybody knows that. We control America. That's our outside world. So yeah, Kodesh Baruch Hu controls the world. He gave us America. Now he has to give us Eretz Yisrael. That's all. Okay, I'm sorry. This, I think the topic deserved a little more unusual treatment. But that's, I believe, that's Pshat. There's where the critical aspect of Nahum is. To take away the feeling of chaos from the individual. You shouldn't think just things happened there and therefore there's no hope for the future. It can keep on happening. No, there's order in the world. Okay, let's continue. Mutal afon avin, usheinu mutal afon avlo. Right? You see, this p'tur is not because mutal afonov. The language mutal afonov indicates physical presence of the dead body. So no, you see, Raminu, Misha Mesa mutal afonov ocha b'bay sacher, right? So what do you call it? He's not mutal b'fonov, mutal afonov. He's b'bay sacher, and it's still called mutal afonov. Main lo b'bay sacher, ocha b'bay sacher, etc. Then, in all the halachas, no niyug of aninus, but he sits a normal mesa, normal sitting. V'yochel boso shosei yayin and v'yochel mezam and v'yochel olam alav. V'chayi b'chom zemus v'atolam. Shemimel omer mitoch shem schayi be'elun and schayi be'kulon. No, that's what the Tanakhama said. He said the chayi for everything. Why did you come? Why does Rav Shmuel add? Amar Yochanan, my binayu, tashmash amiti binayu. No, in other words, the Tanakhama holds that Dvorim Shevetzina are noeg on Shabbos, and therefore the Iso tashmash amito. And according to Rav Shmuel, said no, mitosh neschayv beelu, but he's already neschayv also in mitzvahs ono. Okay, look at Rashi. Right, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, Chayev Ovel Be'ono B'Shabbos. Now this here we'll pick it up in the Yeredeya. Right, here you have I think we covered that already yesterday. Yeah, that the Mechaber passing that way, like the Tanakhama, that Onen is also B'Tashmish Shemitah B'Shabbos. The question is, Onen also B'Tashmish Shemitah? Period. Not Shabbos, even weekdays. Where did Tashmish Shemitah come in as a unit in its own right, different than all the other mitzvahs which an onen needn't pay attention to? So again, you need a balabatish, a rational explanation. The reason why I patter you from all other mitzvahs, including mitzvahs the rice of tefillin, right, in Kriyat Shema, is so you should be also b'meso. Tashmish Amito, right, interferes with that. That sort of takes your mind away from what you're supposed to be doing now. But if Tashmish Amito is also only because it's a dini avelus, what's that to do with Onan? That's where the machlokas, where the Rambam holds. There's no such issue as Tashmish Amito as an Onan. Now, a fellow can be an Onan for several days, traveling with the body, his wife is coming along. Can he sleep with his wife or not? According to Rambam, why not? What's that to do with it? Tashmish Amito is part of the Isuri. I didn't hand it out to you yet. Part of the Gzeira Zayin. Right? Gzeira Zayin, that's Shaykhan Onan. Gzeira Zayin is Alochus and Avelus. What do you have here? Okay, Adam was kind enough to put it together. I told you yesterday that it was an interesting thing from the Kloli, the Kupa Tarochlin of the Fels Yisrael. One page, I think you'll find it helpful. Hand these out. Okay. Those who weren't here yesterday, the first of all, beginning of Sefer Moed, put together a few, like Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, a few paragraphs on interesting things. Here you have Achonam Leches Chol Hamoed and Smochos, which I'm giving you, Chloe Smochos. He has also on Big Day Kahuna and so on. Everybody has? How many do you
okay, like last semester, I just the same number.
All right, and I thought, so we have a basis to do honestly by our learning. You should know a little bit more even before we begin. So I just gave you, if I hand it to you, maybe you'll do it. Let's see, just a photocopy of the Chochmas Sodom on Hilchos Aninos. And din avo mishas misa arakvura, shenikra ona. Anyone's name not on here? Whose name is not on here? You have your name on here?
Yeah, Shafer.
Huh?
Shafer, Yechiel Shafer.
Yeah, so I'm confusing two names here. Yossi Shafer's here, yes. Shafer. Okay. And so who's not on here?
Let's see.
Josh Levy?
He's not. He's not here.
He's not here, so.
And neither is.
This is beside the forms, right?
Right. So I got this yesterday afternoon. Yeah. I think people have registered since
okay.
then.
Okay. No problem.
Mark is also not on that list. Yeah. And
let's finish off. Right? And it's not Amar Apopa, no, take my Marzapon of Yochel. It's only talking about Marzapon of Yochel. Rashi gives a proper teretz. I'm giving Shemutal all over Kovro, Kemutal upon of them. What was your question? You see, even Bebai Sacher, he's potter from the Mitzvah. So it's not Mutal upon of physical presence of the dead body. No, it's not physical presence that we're talking about, but what the duty, the obligation to bury. Kibun shemuto all over kovu kumuto lefon of domi. Shenemar vayokom Avram me'al pnei meso. V'nemar ekvo mesi milfonai. Now, when he's talking already to Ephron, right, the Sora is not there, the body of Sora is not there. Nevertheless, he says, Ekbor Mesi Milfonai, right? Kozman Shemutal all over Kovo Kemutal of Fon of Domi. Now we differentiate between relative, in other words, the potential Avelim, and those who are also Bikvuva. Meso in Abu Meshambolo. He say Meso, meaning he's a relative. But a Meshame or Shomer could be a non-relative too. Someone who's watching that the body shouldn't be attacked by wild animals or by rats, by mice. Abu Meshambolo, Watanya Meshamer Sames, Abu Pichaino Meso, Poto also Mikheshman Tfilim and Tfilim becomes the Muzbatolo. So we see what? That is not a halacha of what? Of avelos, in quotation mark. Not a halacha of aninus. He's not dealing with a relative. He's dealing with a hired service, shomlim service. And then the Gemara, Meshamro, apishena meso. Meso, apishena meshamro. Why? Meso is because it's mutol olov l'kovo. And therefore, if you are someone who's involved in the actual care of the body, right? That's the same halacha. So he says, you covered two classes of people, meso umeshambo in. Is there a third class? Some be in presence of a dead body, even a body that's been buried already. Abo meso, abo mahala bevesak fogos lo. If you had to go through a cemetery, you also have halachas there concerning doing mitzvahs Hashem. But Tanya, lo yahalech odom bebayisak beisak voros utfilin berosho v'sefer Torah bezroo bekorei v'mosakein over mishum loig l'rosh chev oseil. And the Gemara, no. Hosam toch haba amos hud oso, chus haba amos chayev. Right. In other words, what does it mean? These people impact on you. In a cemetery, you impact other people. In a cemetery, don't you impact other people? Don't you make fun of the people lying there in the ground by flashing your fancy tzitzis or walking around with your children? Because that's loig losh. You are lording it over them. You are mitzvah v'yosa, and a mess is potom and a mitzvos. I'm talking about, yes, I am shot. How does the mess impact on you? That's the aloche of shomer and onan and relative, right? If it was the mess, any mess in burying a cemetery impacts on you, then what's the chilik if you're dalal amos, not dalal amos? It doesn't make any difference. But if it means you are impacting on the mess, that's why the Rabbanan made the chilik when you're close to the body or not close to the body. Okay, a little bit more, and I think we can think of going back to the other day. Gufo Hamishamer es Hames. Afa b'yishena meso, pota mikriya shema matfilim, matfilim mekum tzumbo atola. Shnayim, if there are two shomrim, then only two shomrim. I told you, the ikar shmir, as we'll see, is menach borim, that the body shouldn't be attacked by animals. Ho shnayim, ze meshame v'ze kore, ze meshame v'ze kore. Ben azay omer, how you boim b'svina, Menicho bezov yizu, umespalim shnei em bezov yisacheres. I don't know why. I mean, the first Madoma seems to be an adequate response to the problem. I got a daven, I got to watch the body. With two people, you watch the body, I'll daven, then we'll switch. So no, let them both go daven together. Watch the minion of two. He's more comfortable davening together. What's he saying? What level of concern do you have that the body will be attacked by an animal, by a mouse, by a rat? Right. The first mandama held is such a real chash that you need constant shmira. The second mandama, Ben Azai says, it's not that prevalent. You're in a boat, right? Is it because it's a boat? Although we know that boats are the way rats get around from country to country. If you ever keep your eyes open and you go down on South Street, 42nd and 50th, where the big liners are tied up, you see the ropes that attach the liner to the dock. Pay attention, you'll see something nice. On the ropes, what do you see?
Mice.
No one pays attention.
Mice and rats.
Yeah?
Mice and rats.
What?
Mice and rats.
You see mice and rats on there? Where do you see
it? Running up and down.
You see the ropes have a funnel. Several funnels along the rope, this way. Yeah. So that a rat should run down the rope onto land. These are rat obstacles. By having a funnel this way, the rat goes on a rope, comes here, it can score on this, they can't do. So that's how prevalent rodents are, that they're required by law to prevent transmission of arborum from the boat to the land, but they have to put up these rat-proof hawsers, as they call, right, to prevent the rats coming out. I'll just do the next one, because it's interesting halacha, negeyos halacha l'maisa. Tana rabbana, hamolech atzomos mimokom l'mokom. By the way, this we have here, we have in Shulchan Aruch also, yom likut atzomos. Okay, you familiar with that halacha? Okay. Remember in the old days, that's what you see in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know if you see it anymore. I remember we used to go to the Rockefeller Museum. There you can see the sacrophages. SACROPHAGES. Anyone know what that is?
Sarcophagus?
What do they call?
With the mummies?
Yeah, how do you pronounce it?
Sarcophagus.
Sarcophagus. That's what it's called. But I'm reading it from the meaning of the word, sacro meaning bone, and phage eating. They had there in the Rockefeller Museum a collection of these aronos. The aronos were used for storing the body for about a year, and that allowed for the decomposition of the body, and then was buried. That's why you go to these areas where they show the kvura of from time of the Beis Hamikdash. Yeah, these burial. There's no place to put a body in. These are little kuchim where the body fit in. They didn't bury a body. They buried the bones of the body. Right. And Yom Likud Atzomos, the day when these bones were removed from the sacrophage, and put in there, was a Yom of Avelus, right? Another day of Avelus. Okay, we'll mention, it's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. It says, therefore, he says here, Hamolech Hatzamos Mimokom Lamokom. That's what the connection is. We tell you that it's a need to show kovod for the dead body. You don't sit down and eat. If you sit, you don't sit on an armchair, right? You sit on the ground. These are emotional responses we expect you to have. Well, how about now I've got to transport the bones? With what kind of kovod do you spend? If he says you got to be careful, right? Lo yitne bediskia, yitne gabei chamor. You don't throw him into a bag and put him on a donkey. V'yakav aleihem. And you sit on the donkey, and you sit on the bones themselves. But nation over minig bezoyon. But my misyorim and nochim and alistin muto. Tell shamu be alsamos gamu be sefer Torah. Okay. Now, what is it? That's what's the grace of Ochal Maisa. You see, every now and then, I have such a shayla. They're transporting a sefer Torah to Eretz Yisrael. What's a shayla? Can I put it into the compartment above? Or, as you see, everybody, for the whole 12 hours, you have to hold on to the sefer Torah. That's nonsense. Of course, you can put it in the overhead. Most I can put it in the luggage compartment. Two, just the luggage compartment. I don't want to do it because they won't treat it. They'll put on top of it. They'll put somebody's underwear. Yeah. So we don't want to put it in the luggage compartment. But in the plane, of course, they'll cover. You put in the overhead compartment. There's no need to go hug the glila for 12 hours. It's too lengthy a process. As long as there's a rational reason, he says, but if it's Mishorim Neinochen may listen, and he doesn't want to reveal the presence of the Atzomos, what a listen, why is he afraid of listening? Why is it better if he carries the Atzomos, or if he worried about being attacked by a robber? You have to figure out yourself. Maybe they'll take the Atzomos to hold it for ransom. Nowadays, we give good explanations for that. You're going to, that may be the most valuable thing that the Ganovim can take from you, right? To take away the atzamos of your father and then ask you to ransom them out. Give me some personal stories today. My brother Yosef, who's a Menayel in Eretz Yisrael, came 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I think, already. Came to Beit Matzah at the Popova in Williamsburg. Beit Matzah Smet Shmuel Matzah. He took along from Baltimore 8 boys in a station wagon. And they went into Beit Matzah. Of course, the idiots left their bags in the car. And naturally, someone broke in and stole their bags. In the bags were the tefillin, right? Within an hour or two after they began baking matzahs, some Puerto Rican shows up in the place, and he wants to talk to the rabbi. Right? He says, "I know the man that has your religious items. He wants $1,000. Gave him $1,000. Got back to 9 pair of tefillin. They knew what to take. Right? They didn't say, I have your luggage. That was not a problem. They knew that for tefillin, you'll pay for something chashuv to you, you'll ransom them. You have to give him $1,000 and get it back. Yeah. Okay, we'll stop here.